Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End, a podcast all about a bunch of Watford fans chatting about how they're feeling at this moment, at this time. And this is the time when Watford have lost 3-2 away at Southampton. The first loss of the Tom Cleverley era. We still need to figure out a better word than an era, I think, for those sorts of things. And we're going to chat about that. I also chat about the 0-0 draw away at Ipswich Town. My name is John. With me this morning is Jason.
Good morning. Apologies if I sound a bit breathless at any point this morning. I've just got back from a run.
I wish I could be breathless, Jason. I just haven't been for a run. I've just walked up the stairs. And with us again after a couple of weeks is Adam Drury.
Morning, John. I'm just back from my bacon sandwich, so contrasting mornings.
I'm not sure if that makes me feel better or worse.
So we're going to talk about, both those games. And I think it's amazing, actually, how I'm feeling after those games, because let's say since February, my expectations were ridiculously low as a Watford fan in terms of, do I want to win? Yes. Do I get frustrated and tense when watching a game where Watford could do better? Absolutely. I've had a lot of those this season, for many years, in fact. But I suppose this game, these two games this week, we're playing two of the top four, two of the teams that could go up automatically. We're not in that conversation. So the fact that we came out with a point away at Ipswich and the fact that we came back to get back to 2-2 after being 2-0 down yesterday at Southampton, and annoyingly, I had it all evening, but I definitely had a massive wave of frustration and maybe more annoyance, I suppose, that we didn't quite get what we deserved yesterday. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, Jason, on the Ipswich game, did you feel relieved by the end of it? How did you feel about that performance, particularly playing Ipswich, who, they're new, they've been promoted this year into the Championship, and they could go up again. What did you feel at the end of that game?
I think it was almost an if only. At half time, it was more, thank God. Thank God that we've got half time, because we needed it, because we were getting absolutely battered at the end of that half and we were lucky to go in at 0-0, really. Second half was better. And that Kayembe shot, it was all about the Kayembe shot for me, to be honest, in the end. The 0-0 was probably a draw was a fair result. And we could have nicked it. And you're almost sort of thinking, and I think because we've reached that point in the season where we know we're not going to go anywhere, we're barring some sort of miracle run from several teams below us, we're not going down. We obviously know we're not going up. The result's almost irrelevant in terms of what they mean. And it's just sort of those little points. And I think recentism took hold. That was the final moment of the game. And had that gone in, it wouldn't have just been about the result. It would have been about what an amazing moment that was and what an amazing goal it was. And I think I was more focusing on that from the Ipswich game than I think anything else.
Yeah, and it was one of those moments watching it, and that's the annoying thing about that is watching it on the Sky Sports red button feed. There's only one camera, and there's only one commentator. You can't see replay, and it took me ages before I could actually see a replay somewhere. And I lost the ball for a while. It was like huge shot. I thought the goalkeeper had caught it and had fallen into the goal, and I lost the ball because it sort of was in line with the post and the pitch markings, and it was like, oh wow. God, what a moment that would have been. He had a go, but he did have a go, I think. And I didn't see it when I saw the replays. He looked and he did have a go. And I thought it was just like, I'm just going to whack it out the pitch and just keep up the other end and win and get our draw. But no, I really think he had a go. And I think I love that even more about Kayembe, the fact he has the audacity. But
I think on that point, I think he did, because I think we have been. Obviously, we saw the Hoot goal at Hull. That came on the back of having a game plan against Leicester, wasn't it, the week before, where they said that goalkeeper, the goalie comes out a lot and they sort of looking to sort of catch him out. And they tried it again, I think, against Leicester in the home game. So I think we're doing it. I think we are actually using that as an actual tactic this season to try and catch goalkeepers out that are sort of part of that press, almost part of that sort of press from the front all the way through to the back and hold a high position. So yeah, I for that alone, you can see it. But I think for the fact that we've been trying it this season, I think, yeah, he absolutely meant it.
Yeah, it's not like a tactical style that Watford be getting known for, you suspect. Like, oh, well, we're a big throwing team and big set piece team.
It's taken over from the nutmegs.
Yes, now the kings of the long distance goal from your own half. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe you never know. So, Adam, let's look at the Sunderland game, Southampton game. It was, like I said, you know, you see 1-0 behind after 1 minute, you go, okay. It wasn't going to last. They've definitely got something to play for. They're, you know, mentally, they're probably a bit stronger than us because they've got something to play for, and they're probably better quality players because they've just come down from the Premier League. They get another one fairly quickly. How do you feel at that point? And then how did you feel about the performance in the second half?
I had a bit of a gut instinct going into yesterday that we'd put so much energy into Ipswich on Wednesday that might have almost been, you know, the last hurrah of our efforts for the season, and that we might get turned over yesterday, particularly because Southampton were responding to Leeds losing at lunchtime as well. So they're very much back in the hunt for the top two. They go 2-0 up early, and we started just with no energy and none of the same verve that we've shown in any of the previous games under Cleverley. So it definitely felt like at that point it was going to be a long afternoon. And to be honest, I was thinking 4-5-0. They were popping it around us really nicely. We weren't getting close to them the way we did against, say, Leeds a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, it's a very difficult start. But I thought the response was probably one of the most impressive periods that we've had under Cleverley, just because it, as I say, it looked like the game was getting away from us. I think Yasser Asprilla deserves massive credit for driving that comeback in the first half. He was the one who took the game by the scruff of the neck, running at Walker Peters, created chances for us. I think he was involved in the build-up to the first goal back. And then from there, we seemed to find our groove again, and it was almost like a second wave of energy. And I'm sure we'll come on to it, but it's just so disappointing that we couldn't hold on for a point, because I know, listen, if we're going to come out on the wrong end of one of those, this isn't the worst time for it to happen, but it would have been a really, really well-deserved point, particularly for the second half, when I felt that we were probably the team that was going to go on and win rather than having to hold on for the 2-2. So yeah, it's a superb effort from 2-0 down. And I think the most impressive thing was that we haven't been behind yet under Cleverley, and we were waiting to see what that response would be like when it happened. This is an easy thing to say, but I do think Watford teams of the past would have probably crumbled at that point. 2-0 down against a very motivated team. You know, virtually every season over the last few years, we've had a drop-off towards the end, and you kind of see how it's going to play out. So it was I'd say an uncharacteristic and impressive response.
Because you suppose, you know, the system that we've seen with Thomas has been this three at the back. And yesterday, when the teams came out, you're sort of wondering where and how and who's sitting where.
Well, I think Ryan Porteous played right back, basically, which was kind of the, you know, when the team sheet came out, there was no obvious right back in the side. So wasn't sure whether it was going to be Deli Bashir over at right wing back. But it looked like a back four with Porteous at right back. I thought he was great. He was up and down the flank. It's almost like unleashed his what he's desperate to do every single week from centre back, but has to be restrained. And this time there was no holding it back. He was just off. I think that's.
Are you telling the boss I can run down the wing?
I thought you can. Go. To me, looked like a genuine option for us from now. And I was actually a bit surprised and frustrated he got moved back into centre back in the second half, but. Yeah,
you have to see that conversation. Who in that little, you know, Tom and his gang said, "Can we put Porteous at the back?" And he go, and they all went, "Yeah, I mean, he can tear away as much as he likes when he's there. He's not having to cover anybody at centre back in a four." So
you
yeah,
imagine the training. He's just got this. he must be a nightmare to train with, because you can imagine he just takes the same competitive spirit into every single training session. But
so disappointed for him, but not disappointed, let's say, in the. In the change of formation, in terms, you know, going back to being more three at the back.
Yeah, well, I think it was partly forced, because to be fair, Ryan Andrews had a pretty difficult game at Ipswich and looked like, looks like he's a bit knackered and maybe kind of coming to the end of his first full season. We've talked about him before, but I think he's still at the up and down stage, and it's you know, been a successful first year for him, but probably needed taking out of the team. So there weren't really many options. I thought he did really well. And then you've still obviously got, I think Wesley Hood to me is still performing really, really well and kind of holds that back four together from the centre of the pitch. So yeah, I thought the dynamic worked well. Porteous I liked a lot at right back. And yeah, I mean, from the goal, you kind of saw he's kind of got this other side of his game, which we haven't really seen too much of.
Well, we've seen it from Asprilla as that sort of side of a footballing repertoire. And, you know, a strike from outside the box into the top corner. Didn't feel like Kembe. Kembe, I think, is always up to a lower sort of a goal, I think, rather than, but the top sort of top corner, I think, oh, that's just, he's been hanging around with Espria quite a bit there. But let's talk a bit about those players in terms of their longevity. We looked it up to make sure there are certain players that are going to be, well, who out of that team do you think is going to start next season, the first game of next season? There are a couple of players, I suppose, we need to sort of pinpoint a little bit or point out a little bit that their contracts are due to end in June 2025. That means they will be into the final year of their contract at Watford. And you sort of go, well, that's important because of value, but I don't think anything particularly cost us a huge amount of money. So they may be happy, the club, to let these contracts sort of run down because of value. But those players are Wesley Hood. He ends in 2025. Tom Ince, again, didn't cost much. Ken Semmer, as well as Tom Delibashiru. So those are players who, in a current normal world of football, where they would probably go this summer, or they would have to sign new contracts. So we're going to talk about that, you know, those players a little bit. But in terms of that, let's start with, well, the front line, Jason. You know, seeing what we've seen, the goals yesterday, didn't come from Dennis. They didn't come from Bio. Dennis, of course, will contract, loan contract ends in the season. Bio, they didn't come from Rajovic. As those players, you can't be bothered, let's say, about them moving on.
Bio, you'd say we're probably starting to see more from him now than we have done through, I'd say, his entire Watford career. It's not actually that long, is it? But I think we're seeing the best of Bio in a Watford shirt at the moment. Whether that is the best of what we can get out of him, or if we can get more out of him, don't know. I mean, perhaps I'm clutching at straws a bit, but other clubs have signed him, and you think clubs, I mean, he was at Celtic, wasn't he, for a bit, and you sort of think, these clubs wouldn't have signed him if they didn't think there was something there.
Mm.
So is there something there that we are now starting to see the beginnings of? And do you think it's worth another shot? I think so. I think I'd like to see him continue if we can keep him playing. And some of that might come down to what happens with Cleverley and will he still be in charge next season? At the moment, I hope he is, because we seem to be getting something out of the team at the moment, alongside sort of getting more out of Bio. And then there's Rajovic, who continues to be this enigma who somehow scores goals. And then even last week against Preston, we started to see something, didn't we? We saw some nice little touches. We saw him getting involved in outside the box. For 10 minutes over the course of the entire season, that's probably not enough. And if he did go, you'd go, okay, thanks for the goals. Good luck in the rest of your career. But again, they're sort of talking about, we've heard people say there's a player there that if he's coached properly, somebody can do something with him. Whether we can afford to have that player in that team, if Cleverley stays and we continue with the two up front, is Rajovic and Bio the answer? Is that too much of a gamble to get more out of players that we've not seen enough out of so far? You'd probably say keep one, replace the other. But then replacing a striker in the Championship, what do you want? What do you need? How much is that going to cost you? That's equally as difficult. And you're always taking a gamble. You're always taking a risk trying to get a striker that does what you need them to do in the Championship. And you're either sort of throwing loads of money on it, or you're gambling on something maybe from lower down that's a bargain or a free signing from somewhere. So you've got stick or twist, haven't you? And I think in this case, you probably say we probably do want to twist and take that gamble, but then you've got to do something if you're saying let's get rid of Rajovic, you got to find someone that wants him.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's a man who has scored goals.
In his first year in the championship, he has
scored goals, and another club colleague, as we've said before, could look at him and go, oh, well, we can get more from him. Adam, what would you do with those three? If you could say, as Jason talked about how hard it is to get a proper, someone who is going to do the business, let's say, in the Championship. If you could get that in terms of replacing of Dennis, would you be happy to keep both of them?
As Jay sort of mentioned, I mean, a lot of it does depend on what the interest is in them from elsewhere and how much anyone's actually going to pay for them. So for me, with Rajovic, I know he scored goals and I know Cleverley's talked about his work ethic and how the build-up play can improve. The build-up play wasn't great yesterday when he lost the ball and gave away a free kick, which resulted in their winner. I would say if we can get the same money or close to the same money that we paid for him, it would probably be the time to move on and accept it. I don't think it's going to work out the way we hoped. I know the goals have come, but I actually think as a team we function a lot better with Bio up front, as does Tom Cleverley. Clearly, as much as he praises Rajovic, he doesn't give him that much playing time. I think Bio, I'd be very happy to see stick around, assuming no one's going to come in with kind of millions of pounds, which I don't think they are. He works hard. I think his link-up play is not bad and improving quite a lot. You know, he can put the ball into his chest and enough of the time he brings players into play, traps it. He's aware of what's going on around him. It's almost flipped with him because when he first arrived, remember we talked about how he does nothing in open play but gets in positions to score goals. It now feels like he's hardly ever getting a sniff of goal but doing quite a lot for the team. But actually, I would prefer it that way around when we've got the kind of players in the team who can score from distance and around the edge of the box like Asprilla and Dennis and so on. So Bio, to me, would be the one I would keep. And if there's any kind of decent money on the table for Rajovic, I'd probably say we've got a good year out of you, but I'm not sure those goals are going to come again. And I don't think I see the all-round game to believe that he's ever going to be particularly good for us in the Championship.
It does feel like we can only have one player hanging around our necks. And I think he's the, you know, I think I would go by at the moment. But it still does need that one extra goal scorer. That's either going to probably complement Bio a little bit more, but we wouldn't go into a season with just two strikers. So that might be why Rajovic does, you know, if his value, they think another year in the Championship, maybe a few more goals, he would then be worth 10 million rather than just let's get our money back on him.
It doesn't seem like we're going to have the money to go out and buy the kind of number nine we'd like to. So that's clearly all part of the consideration. I mean, that's what they tried to do with Rajovic, right? And I don't see that we're going to have maybe even that much to spend on one player this summer. So it's going to be one of those where we get into August and they're probably both still here and we're trying to work it out. Can someone come in? Will someone go? And so on. It's just going to, have to see how it unfolds.
There's a plethora of players in the midfield. And I know that some people are saying, so why is there Asprilla when you talked about the attack? Well, it's, you know what I mean. You know, who knows where they are and who knew it. So we have got, say, loads of attack and play from midfield. Kone, Asprilla, so sit sort of separately for me because of value. One seems more important at the moment and more consistently important in Asprilla across the season. Kone's definitely dropped off recently. But they seem to be the money, let's say, that is in that midfield. We do have Tom Ince, who sort of you could put up in the as part of a three in a, as an attack. Sema, Georgie Tatsay. You assume is another going to be another season because he's just signed a new contract and we just signed him, really. Well, how many of those, you suppose, can you see leaving?
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're sort of getting into what we'd like to see happen and what is realistic, I guess, because I think we're all assuming we're going to have to try and sell at least one player this summer for a big-ish fee. I think none of those players are at their peak value at the point where we'd want to sell them in an ideal world. So I think Asprilla could definitely, for his own sake and for our sake, do one more year where he really tries to take it on and dominate even more. And, you know, we're talking about double figure goals, double figure assists, you know, be the man like Pedro was for us last year. I don't think he's at Pedro's level yet. And I don't think we'll get that kind of money at all. I don't see who would pay that much for him. But if we're talking about just a need to get money in, he might be the one who has to go for, I would guess, around 12, 15 million-ish.
Well, someone of his age, you might go for 20 because he's still at that sweet spot where, not that he's worth that, but he's still at that sweet spot where sometimes you see young players transfer fees. You go, I think you're paying potential, potential still quite a lot there rather than, proven.
Yeah. I think we, from our point of view, we would say he's worth that and could become worth that. I just don't know from a buying club's point of view if they'd have seen enough to go that far. Just because of the consistency and that as to be fair, Ishmael talks about it a lot, that absolute drive to go and dominate games and win games every single week. And he has done it at times. He scored brilliant goals, that Rotherham goal, Norwich goal. Yesterday, as I said, he was great. And I think he's the one who, if we can just sell him and that's enough, you know, to get us through the summer in terms of money coming in for, let's say, maybe 15 million, that might have to be the one. But obviously, you know, if we're trying to be as good as we possibly can next year, we want to keep hold of him. Shaq Fitadze, we definitely hope will stay. I think he's been great. And again, with Kone, considering we spent quite a lot on him as well, probably not been consistently dominant enough to get much more for him than we spent, which I think was around 8 million. So I would hope that he'll be around, but so much of it depends on the finances and the money we need to raise to try and improve elsewhere. And I think, yeah, Asprilla and Kone and possibly Shaq Fitadze are the three who could get us the money we need to, you know, keep paying the bills through next season.
Jason, is, you know, who do you think out of that lot would be, and I suppose I should add in there, if we talk about midfieldy attackiness, Martins is technically gone in the summer. He's loan. He's back to Udinese, but that's not necessarily the same thing. And then Kambe, of course, are also around. Livermore, his contract is up. You know, it was a one-year contract that he signed when he joined. So he could easily sign a new contract. And I think there were talks sort of had started. Who do you think are the likely, let's say, in the Tom Cleverley, so let's do the Tom Cleverley system. In that, the sort of, when I say five, let's say the midfield three.
Yeah.
Who do you think are the more likely to make up that midfield three?
In the first game of the season, I think, I would imagine Kambe would still be here. There's discussions to be had around Tom Delibashiru, aren't they? Because I think we said his contract is up at the end of next season, and that's... we then start playing the game. Does he want to stay? Does he want to sign a new contract? If he doesn't, do we want to try and get some money for him while we can? I would love to see him start. And I think, again, he's another one of these players where now he's sort of settled into the team. We're starting to see more from him and see what he can do. I think it was the Ipswich game. Ipswich supporting friend said he was impressed with what he saw from Tom Delibashiru. And I must admit, my instant reaction when I saw, the starting lineup yesterday was, I know we're going to be playing Tom Delibashiru out wide again. And I was disappointed because I thought that's what we were going to do. And we were taking him away from where he'd shown real strength in recent weeks. So actually to then see Porte starting a right back, I was kind of relieved almost just because it meant TDB was playing in his proper position. He probably hasn't shown enough that if he doesn't sign a new contract that there'll be suitors for him. So hopefully that can get resolved. He stays a Watford player and he starts in that three next season. And then I guess we talked about Georgi Shaq Fitadze. Again, we're starting to see now he's getting a run in the team. Again, like to see more from him. He's got the Euros coming up, so that could be interesting because if depending on how Georgia do there and how much of a part he plays, you'd expect he'd play a big part in what they do. We've seen what he can do in recent weeks. He's been the one, I think, driving the team on where we've struggled. I thought Preston game, he was the one sort of trying to carry the team forward. Again, we're starting to see, it's almost like they've started to realise that these guys, they can play football and they can do more than they have been all season. And you'd like to see him develop and get better. And ultimately, we know what the MO is at Watford, sort of increase his value for when the time does come to move him on. Yeah, and do that at Watford next season.
So you're saying Kambe, Tom Delibashiru, who else would, and Georgi would probably
and
be
I
the
think,
one.
I think Georgi at the moment, but then it's a squad game, isn't it? It's without being too cliched about it. It's about form. And these are the ones at the moment that for me are probably catching the eye. Kayembe has been a bit hot and cold in recent games. those three seem to fit the Cleverley system better. At the start of the season, we were talking about, it was the season went on in the early days, we were talking about Livermore and what a good job he was doing and how we looked a lot weaker without him in the side. Whereas now, we're not missing him when Cleverley's not been playing him, because the others seem to suit the system better. We have to be honest, and he is getting on a bit, isn't he, Mr. Livermore? And the same with Tom Ince as well, further up the pitch. I don't think it would be a great loss if Ince goes. I don't think we'd be missing much there. He probably passed it. Perhaps with Livermore, it's more about the character in the dressing room than the player on the pitch now. And perhaps he will be able to add some value there with... we get the advantage of that if again, it's if Tom Cleverley stays and is still around. The advantage of that, of having a younger coach, is that better connection probably with the players on the pitch, as people, sort of players around that same age, and Cleverley having played more recently through that age of players that have got it all and the money they earn and the sort of the benefits they get of being a professional footballer. And Livermore will be another one, and sort of but a more senior head. And we probably get more from him in the dressing room than perhaps we might get on the pitch in the next season.
I have just had to look this up. He is the same age as Tom Cleverley.
There we go.
So, he is nearing the end of his career. And they say we've sort of seen that. I think he's been managed this year. I think that's why he only got a 1-year contract, because clearly with things are there. But you're right. If there's a wider role, that would be in terms of that, what he does in the team and maybe coaching and all that sort of stuff, then perfect, I think, for him. Adam, we're going to put everyone either getting their notes out on their phone and making their own notes on who they're playing where, or they've got a scrap bit of paper and they're writing it down, I suspect. So in my scrap bit of paper, so we've got Georgia Chatfatadze, sort of more attacking. Tom Dobashiru, we've got Kembe, Bayer up front with Asprilla for the first game of the season.
Yeah, we didn't really mention Emmanuel Dennis either. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him, whether there's any talk.
Well, he'll go away and hopefully be gone forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might be in the minority.
Because he's not going to do anything.
I wouldn't mind. I still watch certain things that he does. Like, he is explosive in moments. And I think the money's probably not going to add up in terms of his salary and stuff. Like, I don't think he'll be here next year.
Not for the money Forest. Yeah, not for the money Forest paid for him. They're not going to throw that away in their current situation.
I mean, clearly, if Dennis isn't around, he'll need replacing. The way we've set up generally, I would have thought it'd be Bio with another kind of more natural centre forward than someone like Asprilla.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The numbers are going to have to add up in the forward positions.
So do you think you want more to have? In the little fun game we're playing, do you want to have Asprilla just because you still want him around to fit in to that position, or because we want Georgie to play as well, or are we going to put down that centre forward position as the new boy? Which would you prefer?
My way out of that question is what Jay said, which is it's a squad game. Because I would say Chakotadze and Asprilla are probably competing for that same 10 position behind the front.
Yeah.
But clearly, if they both play for Watford at the start of next season in a squad which we expect to probably be even more depleted than this one, we're going to want to get them both in the team. So we'd probably be looking at more like a system like yesterday where they both start. If that's what we're saying our personnel is, then it probably would be Asprilla and Chakotadze just behind Bio with two midfielders behind them, which I'd say at the moment would be Kayembe and Delibashiru. But I'm sure if Kone's still here as well, he's going to play lots of minutes too. If Rajovic does leave, or even if Dennis leaves, we're going to have to try and find the new forward from somewhere. I mean, someone else I guess we could mention is Shaq Ford, who's been on loan at Leyton Orient and doing well there, scored goals. Mm. I think is playing in a sort of, not quite as a nine, but a withdrawn forward or wide forward. So he'd be another option. I guess he's been doing so well at League One that you would imagine the natural next step is to come back to Watford and be a kind of squad player with us. So that could be a solution without having to buy someone new. And Kwadwo Barr as well, I think, was doing well at Burton and got injured. So potential couple of options there.
Tom mentioned in his press conference this week, he sort of said he's not going to do any, what's the phrase did he say?
Charity debuts.
We love a charity debut at the end of the season, especially the last home game of the season. He did mention Jack Greaves, and he sort of said Jack's doing great things in training. And I suppose that's, we've mentioned a bunch of young players there, and you suspect one of them will not necessarily be on that first game of the season, that starting player, or even first choice starting player. But you probably, we probably do need to see one, if not two of them, sort of coming in and playing roles throughout the season to slowly build themselves up. You know, we know Ryan Andrews didn't necessarily slowly build himself up, but he has had the ins and out season. So we've got most of the defence there. Wing back wise, we know Lewis is going back to Newcastle, and I suspect we won't see him again. The Morris and Gakia, let's say he's fit. Ken, we've sort of talked about a little bit in terms of, you know, maybe playing in that wing back role, but his contract is up in the following year. So this would be the point where you would sell him for some value. If again, we are sticking to this Tom Cleverley 3-5-2. Are you happy with, let's say, Morris and Ngakia, Jason, in being our sort of starting wing backs next year, because they're already in the door and replacements won't be, hopefully, any money spent to be spent up front. But anyway, what do you think, those two?
Yeah, Morris, I think we need to see a little bit more from.
Is that what he needs? He needs more time.
And I think we talk about Cleverley and Charity debuts, but is he going to give? I don't see the point really now in playing Lewis for the rest of the season. If Morris is available, play Morris there. Give him some time there, because Lewis, it's been disappointing, really, hasn't it? And we recently start again, start to see a bit more from him. We were seeing getting involved more, perhaps the wing back role suited him more. But it just seems to have been a bit of a regression again, sort of last game or two. And get Morris in. Morris is our player. There's no point in helping Lewis develop if he's not going to be with us from this point on. So get Morris in, give him some game time and play him in this system and see how he gets on. And then for me, you mentioned Ken Semmer. I think that role would suit Ken Semmer down to the ground. I'd love to see Ken Semmer get back on there next season. And hopefully, I mean, again, he's not as old as the other old ones we've spoken about, but he's going to start to get towards that point. And you kind of hope that he sees his time out with Watford, because he's been a good servant to the club, and he definitely has contributed. His assists, I think, from that promotion season behind closed doors were amazing. He was involved all the time. And again, you want to see that, and playing in that wing back role, I think we'd get that. He's deputised at left back and done a competent job there. So I think the left wing back role for him, he would be, if out of him and Morris, I think I would go with him starting there. And just allow, again, squad game. Morris will get his time, he'll get his chances, and we'll continue to see him develop as a Watford player. But I would go for Ken at left back. Ryan Andrews, as Adam mentioned earlier, he's struggled recently. He obviously had a time out of the side. He's come back in, had some positive moments, had some difficult moments, and that's part of learning your craft as a professional footballer, isn't it? You're not going to have it all your own way. But there is a player there. And again, like to see him given his chance. Ngakia, again, is another one we've not really seen enough from. He sort of came in when he came from West Ham, there was talk of promise and potential and excitement there. And he's kind of flatlined for me a bit when he's had his chance. I'd want to see more from him. I don't think we've seen him develop, probably because he hasn't had the game time. And obviously, unfortunate this year that he sort of picked up that injury when he would have had a chance. And he had a chance. He was there at the start of the season and then lost his place, didn't he? And Andrews came in and he seemed to grasp it. And you want to see Ngakia try and do the same when he gets a chance, because he will do. You want to see him take it, yeah, sort of grasp it by the scruff of the neck and show us what he is capable of.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, I purposely didn't put Ryan Andrews into that situation I gave to Jason, but they Ngakia and Morris, I look at them both and sort of say, I've seen bits. You absolutely just need to play lots of football, and a great pre-season under a head coach with a clear system and them sort of, yeah, building the team mentality or the way of playing that for this season, that would be the perfect thing for them to be able to hit the ground running when it comes to next season.
Yeah. just think with Ngakia, there's been a few of those situations where we've probably said the same thing after, you know, going into each summer. The injury situation is kind of debilitating for him, really, where he just cannot stay fit. He came back, was it at Millwall? I thought he played quite well for an hour, went off, and he's still, you know, not been seen since for over a month. And that kind of keeps happening. Just hasn't ever been able to get a run going. But clearly he's been handed this new deal because, A, there's some faith in him. And also, I think, you know, there's, I'd imagine he's not on huge money and there's not any guarantee that we're going to go out and spend, you know, two or three million quid on a new right, a big new right back to play instead of him. So he's at least locked in for 4 years and he's someone who can do the job for us, even if, I don't know, the availability makes me, worries me a little bit with him, because I just, you know, you need to have these players fit and available. With Morris, I think technically he's really good. Even when he came on yesterday, like, his touch is good. I think he puts a good cross in. I think physically, again, I'd worry. He just looks quite small and he's 22 now, and you wonder whether that bulking out is ever quite going to happen in the way you'd hope. So yeah, I wouldn't be that surprised if that's what we end up with at the beginning of next season. But for me, I have quite big question marks over both of them. And in an ideal world, I think we'd try and recruit replacements, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be possible.
Okay, we don't live in an ideal world, Adam. We live in the Watford world. And the current Watford world, at least. Centre-backs, then. We got quite a few. I'd say Wesley Hood would need to sign a new contract, or you suspect he would move on. And Pollock, I suppose, is the one who's come through this year. I mean, when he was given a chance, he hasn't faltered in any way, I suppose. He hasn't, I can't remember a clang or anything like that. Porteous, as we've discussed already with his wing-back role yesterday, is adaptable, has a certain character. And we talked about Georgie possibly getting a bump in value from the Euros. It is possible that Ryan would be seen on a bigger stage, and I don't know how that will change the value to a player. Do you have to play well and score goals for it to have an impact on what you're worth and how clubs look at you? But again, he's on the books until 2027 at least. Sierauta also in there. There's none of them I'm worried about. And if any of them started at the beginning of next year, outside of Hood, let's say he's gone. With what we're left with, Adam, that's all fine, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think they're all players who we're now used to seeing perform consistently. There's a few, I think Sierauta's one who's at a crossroads a little bit. There's probably a few of them, like Ngakia and Sema, who have been at Watford for quite a long time now. And if they wanted to go and play somewhere else and experience something else, this might be the moment. You know, it's almost been, I think, because of COVID and all those players have been in and out with injuries and so on. We kind of forget actually how long they've been with us. Mm. So I guess that would be personal preference for them, but I'd be happy to see Sierauta stay. Hoot, to me, is the one who's our class act at the back. And I wonder if he'll look at his contract situation and think, actually, this is my chance to go and play maybe top flight football in Europe or whatever. This might be his last opportunity. He kind of signed for us last January in the hope of being in the Premier League this year. And whether it's really in his career plan to spend 2.5 years in the middle of the Championship, I don't know.
He's 30.
I think he's
30 years old. So he, like you say, this is his last, because they signed 4-year contracts, let's say, his last sort of big challenge that he could properly get his teeth into. Mm. And yeah, he has no heart in Watford. I do know a lot of mums at next year's Junior Hornets event will be very sad that they can't have pitch taken with him. Because
maybe we can keep him until July so we can do the big pre-season event. To be fair, I think we'd have said that about him last summer, and he's really stepped up this season in terms of leadership, and he's been, in terms of availability, been the absolute, you know, as good as you could hope for, except for that one suspension.
But were you thinking that last year? I don't think I was thinking that last summer, that he would,
kind of
the role he's played. Yeah. But I think, but leaving for a whole other reason.
Yeah.
The thing that's probably keeping him is actually, I quite like this. I'm on the money. I'm not going to get any more massive money because I'm not going to go to a top flight. You know, would a Premier League team take a punt on him? Possibly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doubtful, though. So he's in a place where if he's on about as good as money he's going to get anywhere, and he does like the role of being this senior player, and he does like living in England, then it might be the thing where he goes, actually, I do want to sign a new contract. But you suspect it would have been signed before now.
Yeah.
If he wanted to stay any longer than next year. But he, again, I can't remember, what do we pay for him? Do we pay much for him?
I think like between 1 and 2 million. It was something relatively small. Small at the time.
Yeah. I mean, how the club view that as a loss, they probably don't even think about that, you know, trying to balance that book. They don't want to get maximum for their players. And they might say, well, actually, let's let him stick around for the last year, and we understand that he'll leave at the end of it.
Well, I mean, we'll find out this summer what his ambitions are, I guess, but he's probably another one, maybe the last one in the group of players we'd definitely like to keep, but it might end up being out of our hands.
I think for me, with the centre-backs, the risk is, and again, hoping that Cleverley's still here, if we continue to play three at the back, four centre-backs isn't enough. So I think we don't lose any. What we need is at least one more, you'd think, through the door, just to bolster the numbers and have that depth, because otherwise I think we're really struggling. We need another body is needed rather than sort of seeing them out the door.
Mm. Goalkeepers, Hamer's contract is up, and it really feels time for Daniel Backman to move on for him. And again, in a similar way for Hood, you know, to there is a cloud over him, and the Watford fans do not me, not everybody, but that sort of general noise you get at the ground, there's a lack of confidence in him, and a move for him away would make complete sense for me. So then we have nobody left. Do we have anybody on loan somewhere that we could possibly get back?
Backman's always been an interesting one, because there's been a feeling, I think, that he might be someone we could get money for with playing international football for Austria. There was all that talk of Man United for a while and Ajax and Arsenal.
We thought that about Scott Loach.
I know.
15 years ago, we were obsessed with, we've got to play Scott Loach because he's going to be worth a bit of money for us. Nothing.
That was still our biggest regret, right? Not selling into Tottenham.
Yeah.
If that kind of money is on the table again, and I know Austria are at the Euros, but I don't think he's been in the squad so much recently, has he?
Nah.
I mean, personally, I think you're right. The noise and the feeling around him might contribute to the club thinking this is the time to try and move him on and bring in a new number one. Personally, I watch his performances most of the time and think you are fine for where we're at and the kind of standard of team we are at the moment. I think particularly since he's come back into the team, he's done really well. He clearly is a decent egg in the changing room, even if the captaincy decision turned into a bit of a debacle and he's kind of not captain anymore. He was chosen for a reason. There must be some sort of, you know, he must be some sort of leader in that dressing room. But the perception of him has kind of massively obscured where we're all at with him, I think. And that is his own fault as well. You know, that meltdown against Huddersfield last year really was an ugly look. And I've actually sensed something similar was coming yesterday, because he totally lost his head at full time, you know, after the added minutes. So there's clearly that temperament issue with him. But I think he rarely lets us down, for me, with his goalkeeping. I know there's been talk about his stature in the box and coming off his line, but I think that's improved a bit this year. He is, to me, a really good shot stopper. I think he holds on to shots rather than parrying them out, and all those sort of little bits and pieces technically with his goalkeeping that I like. If he was our number one next year and we could almost wipe the slate clean in terms of the feeling and his reputation, then I think I'd be okay with that. But yeah, if there's money on the table and actually we can use that to bring in maybe I don't know whether it be like a loan number one or find someone else out there, then it might be the right time. But I'm certainly not as down on him as a goalkeeper as other people.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think it's nearly impossible to wipe the slate clean.
Yeah, yes, he's almost been weaponized, hasn't he?
He's he's got a longer contract. He's got until 2028. So he's got a little bit of time, and therefore you expect a lot more value. And as you say, if we don't think, he does really feel like you could get a decent amount of money for him. If we'd want to keep Asprilla because we don't think we've maxed out his value, then it is about selling a few of the players around that would make up that. Rather than selling one, it's selling a few and then probably bringing cheaper ones in at the other end.
Another player we could sell, sorry, just to come in, is Imran Lusa, who's his loan will end and he's going to come back. I think, I don't know if there's a deal to sell him permanently as part of that loan move, but he's someone who's surely worth a few quid who we can cash in on this summer. I think no one's expecting him to be back next season. So,
no.
No, you never know. Him and Tom might have been best buddies, and he might be the perfect person to integrate Imran Luther into the team again. Maybe not. But you're right. There is other money to be made from selling lots of players, selling a Kalou, who we don't really miss, and not necessarily getting big bucks for him, but just selling a few to keep the ticking over. Listen to us sounding like we know what we're doing as football directors or directors of football at football clubs. Well, these are just the games, and I blame Miles for making Football Manager in us all. So are we putting a goalkeeper in there? Or are we putting a new goalkeeper on this first game of the season, Jace?
Like Adam says, it comes at if you can get money for Backman and you can then put that.
You've got to pick Jason. It's a silly game, but you've got to pick.
Oh, it's a silly game. I don't think we're going to see any movement, are we? I think it's going to have to be Backman, unfortunately. Okay. I suppose that's harsh. You can see where I'm going. I agree, and I think it's time for him to move on. I don't like the temperament thing that obviously you mentioned, Adam. I don't like when we concede and he starts pointing and shouting at the defenders, berating them almost. Said, look, it's not my fault. Don't make that mistake again. It just doesn't sit comfortable. It's almost like you get fans that shout louder and moan more because they want to show that they're passionate and that they care about the football club. It almost feels like it's that. It's almost like look at me. I care that we're losing or we're not doing well. We've just let a goal in. You don't need to do that. It seems a bit silly. And
you can't do that thing that like strikers can do, which is run and run and run from one end to the other. When people go, he's working really hard. It's hard for a goalkeeper to show working really hard.
Well, if he sort of celebrates every save, Arsenal might pick up on that and they might sign him. So the over celebration. But anyway, I do think it's time for a change, but I'm not sure we'll see it again because of the status of the club, and I think he'll be number one at the start of the season.
So if we're sticking, therefore, Mr. Drury, with the 3-5-2, we're going with Andrews and Morris for now?
Of the players we have, yeah. I mean, I've thought if Lewis leaves, a left-back of some description will come in. Or I think Jace might be right, actually. If it's 3-5-2, Ken Semmer is the obvious pick.
Yeah, big up the Ken.
The middle three, are we going to wish Wesley in the middle, Jason?
We wish Wesley in the middle. I think let's start with the experience, Porto and Sierra. Just a point on Sierra, I know we talked about the possibility of him moving on. Remember when he was first with us, he was getting into the Chile squad. I'm not sure how much he's got back in there recently. And perhaps if he wants to be a more permanent fixture there and certainly starting games for them, then he might see within himself, he might think, okay, I need to move. I need to leave Watford to do that. But again, hoping that he stays and you start him and Porto as the three with Pollock on the bench.
Midfield, Adam, I think we're going with definitely Kambe and Tom Delibashiru would be our preference again. Tom Delibashiru contract's running down. I want to put Georgie there from a point of view of Espriere is on his way, sort of. We know he's going and has value, and it does feel like he does need to stick around for another season just to maximise himself a little bit more. Because, I don't know, does he need a loan to the Premier League? Anyway, then we have Bio and Espriere up front. Are you happy? Are you content when that tweet comes out at 2 o'clock on the, what is it, 10th or 11th or whatever it is of August?
Yeah, I feel like that's got quite a nice shape to it. I mean, there'll be a discussion about goals and where the goals come from in that front line, I think, because Espriere and Shakvatadze are both creative players who get us up the pitch. But there's no one there you could see, you know, definitely he's a banker to even score sort of 10 to 15 goals across the season. So that would be a question mark. But if all those players are still with us next season, and obviously we haven't mentioned Kone, who is, as much as he's having a dodgy period, is definitely going to be in the mix if he's still with us, then yeah, I'd be quite relieved and happy with that. But I suspect we're going to be disappointed and someone's going to have to go, I think.
Yeah, I do as well. I really, really, really do.
And we have Kone. I say we have no idea of what might come in the summer as well. We know what the situation is in terms of cash flow at the club, and we've not got a lot of money to spend, if anything. But there probably will be incomings, and we've got no idea who that will be. Some of that might be influenced by who's available. Some of it might be influenced by agents, maybe. Yeah, make your own interpretation of that. Yeah, and that will obviously completely change what it looks like. And then the big if that we've been saying all the way along is, will Tom Cleverley be in charge till next season? Lots of things may change between now and the first game of the season.
The two more points that I had to discuss with one, Adam, we opened in the point, will Tom Cleverley be the manager of that side next year? How are you feeling towards that?
I actually feel more probably pro it after yesterday, just because I think we saw a new dynamic in the sense of how we recovered from going behind. The problem with hiring such a young, inexperienced coach is we just don't know how he's going to react to certain situations. You know, how does he deal with three games in a week? How does he deal with us going behind? How does he deal with a bad run of form? You know, when a player gets disgruntled, there are lots of things he hasn't had to deal with yet. But the reality is he's getting pretty impressive tune out of this squad at the moment. And again, we keep talking about the finances, but there's not necessarily going to be the opportunity to go and attract a coach that we might have been after, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago when we had money in the Premier League and so on. So I suspect we are heading that way. And it almost feels like, it feels a bit like when Malky Mackay first got the job, you know, a respected player who retires, goes into coaching, kind of, you know, I hate saying knows the club, gets the club, but, you know, he does understand the ethos. He understands what's going on. He's been around. So I would imagine now that is where we're heading. Yeah. I'd be quite surprised if he's not appointed full time though.
Yeah, I think I'm at that point. I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't. It was an interesting chat on the Watford mailing list about, are we making this decision with our head or with our heart? And I think we make the yes definitely with our heart, but slowly, and you're right, it's going to be hard for us to see the situations, all the situations where it would be a head decision. Because actually all those situations you pointed out there, Adam. Other one was about, Jason brought them up, the lovely agents. It was released this week that Watford spent a lot of money, many millions of pounds. The highest, us and Norwich in the middle, just a higher bits of £4 million on agents' fees. Of course, the three who spent more were the three who came down. And then the initial reaction, especially from Mr. Michael Parkin, is the agents are a cesspit, they're taking too much money and blah, 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 blah. And I get it. I absolutely get it. How did you feel when you sort of see that number? Is it more of a annoyance or more just like, oh, you know, that's football?
No, I don't feel that's football. You look at the players we've bought in this season. And yeah, some have delivered, some have contributed in different ways, but it feels hard to justify that spend on the quality of the player that we've got at the club and what ultimately we're going to end up finishing lower mid-table, having spent playoff agent money. And perhaps I'm oversimplifying it, but that's what it looks like to me. We've just not got the value for money out of the spend on agents that we've made.
Because I get that. And as I said, I'm not a director of football. And I wanted to figure out a little bit more about what it was. And so I did a bit of searching, and I'm not saying my sources were perfect or anything like that. But that fund, that money, isn't 100% purely down to the fact that we... it's part of a transaction for buying or selling players. A big chunk of it is, but another part of it can actually be down to the club paying an agent for services, which is all part of them doing it instead of a player paying their percentage. So let's say a player was paid £2 million and therefore 5% of that is £100,000. So the agent's due £100,000. Now, in most of the worlds I'm aware of, in my media world that I used to work in, the person is the one who pays the agent for the fees that they did for them. But in this case, the club can pay some of that under the, you know, under player services, and therefore that comes under that that total that they paid all the agents. So if we've got players, which we did last year, on higher wages, and we were paying a, say, 2%, let's say, of those wages to agents, that would be a bigger number. It's not all down to the fact that we are, yeah, the transition, the transactions from players buying and selling. But you're right, as Jason, and I think that's one thing that Mr. Michael did mention, is the fact that one agent was named, Adam, as you saw, as part of three of the transfers, the Saar one, the Troostekong, and Dennis coming back, Moggy Byatt. Just very close agents. I think that's definitely my worry, is that you don't want to feel that they are getting special treatment, I suppose.
And for all that the club tell us that he's just another agent and we use agents, they're not all sat in the director's box at games. They're not all at Millwall away. And, you know, there is something strange going on there. And I'm sure your explanation about fees and stuff is right. But the fact is that we're still doing things very differently to how most clubs are doing it. And this murky world that we seem to be in, we do things in unusual ways. And I think because of that buyout situation, it feels, yeah, unsettling and a little bit concerning.
We don't know the details, but they're feelings. They're just feelings. And that's what we do in this podcast. We share our feelings as Watford fans. And, well, it's amazing, like I say, we our feelings towards what that team could be at the beginning of next year, and also how we feel after, well, getting one out of 6 points against the top four team this week does seem a little bit weird. But performances, I suppose, are the most important thing going forward. Who the players are, of course, is big, but the fact that there were two very good, in terms of attitude performances, that we saw this week can only make us feel better. And of course, that's Tom's ultimate aim, is to finish this season on a high, ready to, you know, drive that forward into next year. With who, we're not sure. But we named some players and made a bit of an 11 in this podcast. Thank you very much, Adam.
Cheers, John.
And thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
We're back, of course, after next week's home game against Hull. And we'll have a chat about life as a Watford fan. Come on, you old!